Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for today, Monday, the 15th day of March 2021. I'm David Ellis. And with me is John Stout. He's the producer and technical operator. Call us at 434-1790 or send your WhatsApp messages to us via 266-4862. I want at the outset of today's program to offer sincere and heartiest congratulations to Mr. Anthony Green, who has succeeded me as station manager of Starcom Network Inc. I want to say that I have every confidence in his ability, and I wish him great success in this and all of his future endeavors. Now, getting the best out of the civil service of Barbados has long been an area of difficulty for us and many other developing countries. You may recall that one of our revered national heroes, the right excellent Errol Barrow, once referred to the civil service as an army of occupation, interpreted by many to mean a group that took up space, took up residence, and did very little. He sought to get around what were seen as the inefficiencies of the civil service back then by shifting some of its responsibilities to a new entity, the Statutory Corporation, led by the public servant rather than the civil servant. The move in that direction gave the political directorate more latitude in choosing the leadership of these boards. But the truth is that what we got in return when it comes to efficiency, productivity, and profitability has been far from what we expected or were promised. Our current restructuring program, which has been supported by the International Monetary Fund, bears testimony to this when you look at the emphasis that has been placed on reducing transfers from central government to the statutory corporations and the effort to make these entities far more efficient. And good examples are the Transport Board and the Barbados Water Authority. Now we have another move by the government, and one that has been introduced with little warning and or little discussion. It is a decision to appoint senior managers in the public service on contract. Now, let's recognize that we have long had calls for such a move. And part of the argument which has been presented is that civil service leadership is increasingly inefficient, because people have been chosen on the basis of longevity in the service rather than on competence and capability. That the service ought to be able to get the best from people both in the private and the public sector when it comes to leadership. You shouldn't be restricted in the way that it has been over the years. The counter to this has been that the example we have had in the statutory corporations is nothing for us to shout about. And there is great fear that, as has happened in the statutory corporations, the politicians will pick their political and other friends for the top jobs and ultimately erode the independence and efficiency of the civil service of Barbados. I present to you those two sides of this coin because this is a very important discussion point for us. You know, there are some decisions that you can make and you can quickly roll them back. But there are others that it, once you have embarked upon that path, it is very, very difficult to come and change course. And given the importance of the civil service to the functioning of this country, we have of necessity to look at what we are currently getting and how can we do better. Is this the answer? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program.
Very good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
It is nice to have you on once more. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Well, there's always room for improvement, but like anything else, you've got to do what you have to do. Yeah, all right. I want to comment on 40 for you and the comments you just made. I want to state categorically here. I would take your advice on this. Some person has written me one poison letter. It doesn't have any threats because they would know what to do with a threatening letter. But it is a letter of you know, these poison letters and poison calls. I wonder if I should run it on the air or to every, I'm in receipt of a letter, yeah. So whoever has written the letter, you want to bring it on, bring it on. Just bring it on. I wonder if I should spend my good energy in the letter or you think I should just run it quick.
The fact that you are hesitating on this suggests that perhaps you should leave it out for now.
All right. I could, yeah. But I am a receipt here letter. You know? All right. I'll go on your advice. If need be, I could refer to it. Anyhow, this contractual thing. I have been calling for some time about the labor mayhem. We just had workers walking off last week again. After the effort of trying to reduce the salary, and they had to reinstate the salary. And now we had last week the persons protesting, what have you. You've got this thing here about the contract jobs. I don't know why we can't arrive that. We need a labor overhaul in the country that will bring a lot of closure to all these problems. When you see this contractual thing, we've got too much of this contractual situation where persons aren't paying no money to the NIS, etc., and depleting the NIS of funds because everybody's on a contractual thing. Companies want to bring on a contractual basis, and then no money is sent to the NIS, etc., etc. This is a situation raising its ugly head and needs to be dug out, I mean, expeditiously and brought to a halt and get the labor laws enacted and look at if you have to revise some of them or whatever and stop this blatant attempt and approach to manipulate workers. The manipulation of workers need to be stopped, though. I don't know. This is really abhorrent in the country. Every minute there's some concern in respect to labor, and we've got a labor minister that should be go on.
You are in an area, your chosen area, an electrician.
Uh-huh.
And every time you go to work, aren't you hired on contract? Haven't you spent most of your years in this field working
you're hired
on contract?
You are what we call by the job, contract. Yeah, verbal or written, contractual, yes. But what I'm trying to say...
How has this impacted on your ability to earn a living over the years?
It hasn't impacted in my pursuit of what you got to do. What I have to do, I do above board and I'm very definitive and clear, so nothing has impacted on me. But
You're comfortable that working on contracts in this way has been good for you.
What I'm trying to say is, if you take everybody and put them in this new term, this new quote-unquote contractual arrangement, what is going to happen eventually with the the funding and the maintaining of the national insurance scheme, et cetera.
Roald, that is not a reasonable argument on the issue of NIS. The people who are on contracts, people like you and others, should know from the outset that they have a responsibility to pay their own NIS in certain circumstances. And where the contract is structured in such a way that the employer is supposed to pay a portion and the worker another part of it, then that they both have that responsibility. Therefore, being on contract does not absolve anyone of the responsibility to meet NIS contributions.
So the prevailing situation is that it's new because, you know, all the years we come along, persons work, the deductions are made from the NIS, and they work under that system. So this new approach, then, you would think is the way to go as compared what we've grown accustomed to and what was obtained.
I think you need to come to terms with why it is happening. What are the facts? Just bear with me, because you have in all of this, we need to think it through and we need to talk it through. When you are concerned about the drift towards contracts of this type, you have to analyze what is driving the market in this particular direction. Why is it that so many people are opting for it, either as employers or as employees?
What you suspect is driving market, I perceive a lot of exploitation is had. Exploitation of workers is very, very vibrant across.
You know, that's that is in this country, that is the easiest thing for everybody to say. You know, the only person who doesn't exploit anybody is the worker. The worker. Employer is, in Barbados, the employer is always there to exploit people according to what you all see and hear. So I'm not even going to chase that particular aspect of it. All I'm saying to you is, let us define exploitation. What is exploitation?
I'm going to answer you, but your comment there, Justin, not fair comment. I'm going to convince you it's not fair comment. Because, you know, I'm on record as coining this phrase, a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. And there's nobody that purports that more than myself.
What's the exploitation?
Like for instance,
turn off the phone.
I'm trying to turn it off. I'm not Jesus. I can't be perfect. And who called? Somebody called me. Yeah. really laughing? Yeah. What is exploitation? I hear my you know, you regard you. Yeah. Exploitation is people working for what we call under what you call a minimum wage. People get exploit. The job description and embraces more than they should be doing for the same money and all kinds of things. Exploitation in all forms and fashion. People going home with sharp pay, a lot of hassle to get the money. You talking about exploitation, so you would want to really concede that there's no exploitation in labor thing in Barbados that we would want to concede.
I don't know how my question could be stretched to that length. I haven't said that there is an exploitation. I want to hear what is your definition of exploitation.
I've just given you.
Well, I've heard you.
Something.
Before. All right, Roald, let's move on to another caller.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello? I wanted to just touch on this one. Something is in the making. More heat at the BADMC. And yesterday's paper got in now. Eager to talk, Dr. Brian Francis. This is one that is going to unfold. I mean, the whole public, because you see, he has something that the public should hear. This is everybody's in anticipation as what's going to be the. Would this augur well for agriculture? Would this augur well for BADMC going forward? It is going to be interesting.
I would just say to you, be very cautious getting caught up in hype. All right? From what I've read, the former CEO of the BADMC has said that he's taking the matter to court. And quite a lot has been said And I would suggest to you that there's always more than one side to any story. What we have been presented with so far is his part of his side. He says he's got more to say. The best thing to do is to sit down and wait to see where this is going, because it is very dangerous to come to a conclusion on the basis of only one side to any story. I see the calls for the Prime Minister to intervene. Quite frankly, there are many people in Barbados who believe that the Prime Minister intervenes in too many things. And some of the very people who are calling for the Prime Minister to intervene in this matter would be among the first to complain that the Prime Minister gets involved in too many things, and that we have too many ministers in Barbados who ought to do the job that they are paid to do. And we should not have almost every situation that develops in this country being one where you have to get the Prime Minister to step in. Look, you have a board at the BADMC. You have a Minister of Agriculture. One expects that if you appoint a board, that the board is made up of competent men and women, and that the management of the place, working in conjunction with the board, would do the right thing. Now, if there is a conflict between the CEO and the board, then there are avenues for that to be sorted out, especially if this man has said that he is going to go to court. It is highly irregular and irresponsible to be trying to address this matter in the court of public opinion if the man is going to court. So all I say to you is, let's be cautious on this one and be careful not to get caught up in the hype, because I've seen too many situations around here where people say all sorts of things, but when the rubber hits the road, sometimes these things fade away. They never get to court. But I wait to see whether this one will make it there. That's how I see it. I'm not going to get caught up in the hype over this. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning. So I just wanted to mention something that was, I woke up really heavy on and decided, on my mind, and decided I wanted to talk about it because I wanted people to hear. I'm 23 years old, and I have a lot of friends who during this period would have reached out to me and expressed a lot of struggles they would have had with their mental health. And it started to, you know, started to weigh me down emotionally a little bit. And I just wanted to, appeal to persons out there, especially in your families, to be mindful of, the certain ways that you might treat the young people when it comes to mental health, because there's such a stigma against it. And a lot of my friends, they feel like they can't talk to their parents or they can't talk to anyone about it because for some reason, we have this culture that is believed that, you just need to get over it, or you're just young, so, there's no need for you to be sad or depressed. Like, just grow up. You ain't got nothing going on. But the truth is, we live in a different time, and a lot of people are seriously struggling, and some of them are even being punished or rejected or ostracized when they're struggling. But when you really take a step back and just look at, the behaviors that are happening, you might actually start to notice that these things are abnormal. And I would just like to appeal to parents, especially to, consider the fact that, yes, they're your children, and yes, you might get frustrated when they do certain things constantly that you don't like. Yes, But at the same time, understand that mental health is just as serious and just as important as physical health. I strongly believe that nobody could be healthy, totally healthy, if their mind is off. And there are people, we've seen so many suicides. Well, I don't want to exaggerate it, but the truth is, it seemed like a lot more the young people seem to be hopeless or helpless. And I have a lot of friends. I even have one who recently got diagnosed with, you know, something. And it's like there was no avenue for help. And I just want to appeal to parents to don't just take bad behavior or don't just take attitudes or disgruntled behaviors as just being a difficult teenager or a difficult young adult. But consider the fact that you need to create an environment where your child or your children feel safe, and you need to be open-minded. And when they come and tell you, you know, I feel overwhelmed, I'm feeling depressed, I don't feel happy, I don't understand why I'm feeling the way I feel, don't just brush it off and say, well, get over it. We need to create an environment, not just where our young people feel free to talk about these things. Like, I'm 23 and I have...
Can I ask you this question?
Yes, please.
Is this your experience?
It's not my personal experience, but what's happening is because, okay, my friends see me as the one that you can talk to. I am blessed. I have parents who have given me that opening, and I am emotional about it, to be honest, because I am blessed. I have parents who've given me that opportunity to speak. I have a mom who, you know, yes, she might not always understand, but she would ask me if I feel overwhelmed because I don't struggle with my mental health per se. Yes, I've had traumas that has caused me pain, but my mother always made sure, and my father, both of them, in spite of how things might not be perfect, you know, I don't have a perfect family, but they always made sure that if I am feeling overwhelmed, I was heard and I was listened to, and I'm grateful for that. And because I had that, I am able to be an ear to my friends. And what I'm hearing a lot of the time, like daily, my friends are overwhelmed, and I know it's not just them. They are, some of them actually have diagnosed situations that can cause them their life if left untreated, and they're in situations where they don't have an escape. The household treats them as if they're just broken or just looking for attention. You know, I study psychology, so I know that that is not always the case. I am not a psychologist, but I have a little understanding of how these things operate in a person. And I believe that, you know, there needs to be, especially in a time like this, where we have been deprived of so much social things. We have lost a lot. I don't think there's anybody in this nation who has not experienced loss. Last year, I lost about 4 family members, right, in the space of 3 months. And I lost my job as well. So I experienced loss. And like now, a lot of young people, they've lost contact with friends. They've lost contact. Some of them lost jobs. Some of them have lost, their grades have gone down. And there's so much things that we as a people on a whole are going through and trying to process. And I think a part of the campaign, you know, for this thing, we need to up the campaign for mental health, educating people about what are the avenues that you can use to get help. And if you see someone or notice someone who is struggling, how is an ethical or a good way to get help? Because you don't always want to invade someone's privacy, but some people just need that invasion. And how can I do it if I notice when my family members are going through these things? Because it is a hard time for everyone. And I think we can't just focus on, you know, getting healthy and vaccines and all these things without considering the psychological damage that we've experienced over the last year. You can't tell me that this thing has not traumatized us. Everyone has experienced trauma to some degree. And unfortunately, it seems as though the young people in this nation is like, well, y'all young, y'all ain't got nothing to complain about. Why y'all stressed? I got stressed because I got to deal with all these things. I got to fix the bills. And yes, we understand you are stressed as the adult, but understand too that we are stressed as well, and we do need avenues for help, and we need you to listen and help us.
May I ask you, when your friends speak to you, what advice do you give to them?
Well, what I usually do is first I listen and I try to help them sometimes I've had to talk them down out of very dangerous situations. And
they've actually, you've had people tell you that they wanted to commit suicide?
Yes, and I've had to talk them down more than once. Mostly happened during this COVID-19 pandemic. And I've taught them, don't bless God, I have. I've been able to convince them to get therapy. I've been able to, help them to keep up with, I encourage them to keep talking. I literally told one of my friends who was very scared for her, I told her, listen, anytime you feel like this, I don't care what time it is, at least send me, even if you can't talk about it, at least send me a message so that I could try to help you, because I don't want to lose you. And I keep trying to assure them that, if you feel unimportant to somebody else, you are important to me. Your life matters to me. And I found, they tell me, and I found that it's helped them to hang in there, because just knowing somebody is willing to be, sometimes you just need to listen. And then if you, as a person who, if you find yourself in that situation where you're a person and someone opens up to you with their struggles, the next thing to do is go and educate yourself on what are the avenues you can use, right? How can you encourage this person? You don't force them, but encourage them to get help. Encourage them to get counseling. And at some point, if it's become like someone who is dealing with suicide, you have to acknowledge that the life is more important than privacy. Right? And you let them know, listen, I love you, but if this continues, I'm probably going to have to call for help for you.
May I ask you this question?
Yes.
You talked about avenues for getting help.
Yes.
From where you sit, what are the avenues for getting help in Barbados?
And that's my exact concern, because even though, yes, I study psychology and I know, well, yes, there are there are hotlines out there for suicide prevention. I don't know them. I know that you can call the emergency in a case where you think someone may harm themselves, and they will get them the relevant treatment. But still, that even brings stigma. So you get scared to do that. I don't know if there, I don't know the numbers, but I feel those things should be public knowledge at this point. Same way how we have the COVID hotlines, we need to know suicide hotlines. Even I heard an ad once on the radio about it, which I was glad to hear. But more needs to be pushed on telling us how we can get help. If it's domestic abuse, whatever it is, I am not fully aware of all of the avenues. I think even in within our communities, we need to try to be our brother's keepers. And I really believe we need to go back to mentality of we are a village, because we can't really survive this thing in isolation. Yes, we can't go and show each other, but you can at least show through the window and check on your neighbor and make sure that your neighbor is okay. Because you don't
how much of a burden. How much of a burden has this presented you with?
Honestly,
you have to listen to all of these other people. Approximately how many people in the last year you had to counsel on this?